Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Petito.
I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. And in time, this too shall pass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. Jerry Petito taught the class. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. Loves the answer, the greener grass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. One day at a time, free at last.
When you don't know just what to do,
just what to do, just what to do.
If what you're feeling is really true,
is really true, is it really true?
Just keep your ideas safe and sound,
safe and sound, safe and sound.
That's exactly how change is found.
Change is found, change is found. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. And in time, this too shall pass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. Jerry Petito taught the class. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. Loves the answer, the greener grass. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass. One day at a time, free at last.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jerry Petito Show. Guys, this is a product of Beverly Nation. We are on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. How cool is that? Guys, dial in 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Guys, I have a great, great show for you tonight. I have two incredible entertainer guests. So I would like to introduce them first. Maxine and Ed Alstrom. Hello.
Hello.
How are
you? Jerry.
Hi.
Jerry, you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, hello. We're very excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Okay, great. Can you hear me, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're all good now. All right, everybody. So I am so excited. You know, I've interviewed you guys before, and your information is just, to me, really cool stuff. But before we get into that, I would like you guys to tell everyone a little bit about yourselves.
Okay. First of all, I have to know, was that you rapping on that intro song?
Okay, so I had that made when I wrote my book. So, no, that was not me. I wish I could rap like that, man.
So that was hot. It's really good. Okay, but now about me. My name's Ed Alstrom. I am from New Jersey, northern part of New Jersey, and playing music since I was a little kid, and mostly keyboards. I picked up guitar and bass along the way, and then started singing and arranging and writing and producing, and do all kinds of different stuff now. I'm sure we'll talk about the places I've been and things I've done in the course of this. But I've always lived in North Jersey. My wife's been around, and she wound up here. And I don't know. I guess we'll get to the rest of the details, but that's my outline. And Max, what about you?
I grew up outside of Boston in a suburb, and I always played since I was in, like, fourth grade, playing my first Beatles. All My Loving I played on an upright piano for my fourth grade class. Never forget the first time you ever play in public, right? And then after that, all kinds of bands. We played for the seventh grade dance, and I accompanied the vocal group. So it was all kinds of piano, all kinds of genres. I remember playing Carole King music at the eighth grade dance, you know, with a trio, with Benny on upright bass and me and Marty as the drummer in Wakefield. And we're friends on Facebook now, which makes it really cool to find these people and compare music and notes and, you know, where you've been. And then went to college for music, minored in women's studies, psychology, and got a music ed degree, as they say, to fall back on, K-12. And then I went right on the road the day after I graduated college. I went right on the road with Larry and the Exciters, and it was a show band. We did U.S. and Canada, and some of that video just surfaced. I don't know if you saw it, Jerry, on Facebook, but a friend posted something we did in Florida. And I didn't even recognize me. I'm like, who is that? So it was around 1978, and we were the show bands when the clubs had show bands, and we would play our dance sets. And then Larry Alltop was Larry and the Exciters, and he would do like a Blues Brothers show or a Frank Sinatra type show or an Engelbert type show, and he was friends with a lot of those people. So we met and had a lot of adventures, U.S. and Canada, and then ended up in Jersey, ended up in different bands here playing keyboards, piano, everything from, you know, solo gigs in restaurants to bands in clubs, dance bands. We used to have the Ramada Inn 6 nights a week, right, with the dance sets.
Uh-huh.
And then I met Ed, and now here we are, like two musicians married with two grown daughters.
So I want to comment on a couple things. So, yes, I did see that post, and that post was really awesome. That's number one. Number two.
Thank you.
Number two, Facebook is incredible if used for good. Look at everything that's happened. Look at all our connections, right? Me meeting you guys, I mean, it was all because of Facebook. So I think we should all just use Facebook for positive, good stuff. So having said that, there are some really cool things I want to get out of the way just so that my audience hears this because, so correct me if I'm wrong, one of you is a pianist and one of you is an organist.
I started playing organ, so I did it kind of backwards from most people because that's what we had when I was a kid. My dad was a plumber by trade, and he played organ and accordion for recreation. We didn't have a piano, so the choice was offered to me when I was a little kid, and I showed some interest in it if I wanted to play organ or accordion, and I quickly gravitated toward the organ, and so that's what I grew up playing. I was 5 years old when I was playing the organ. I couldn't even really reach the pedals, and we didn't get a piano till I was like 12. But you know, I played piano at some people's houses and in school and stuff when I saw one. So I was playing both, but Max was just playing piano, and she's recently started playing organ more. So we both do both.
I think we're very lucky, like as piano players, that there's just always work. Like when everyone wasn't working in January with the wedding bands, you know, Ed was with the Vinos and them, like doing the wedding bands in North Jersey, then we'd be doing Casio demos at a NAMM show or something in January, or CES electronic show when Ed designed at Casio, or just all kinds of church, temple, you know, piano players, we're very fortunate the amount of work there is.
And I love
And like, if we played other instruments, we wouldn't have as much work as we do, is the point.
I see. Right. Yeah, but I love listening to you guys on Facebook and the way you interact with each other and the way she ducks around you. I love it. Okay?
Yeah. Well,
he was playing our wedding song was the Dave Clark 5 Because.
Right.
And I was going to come in with the solo. When Ed does this Facebook thing, I'll tell you about. Since COVID, like on the organ. And I said, I want to make it look a little unexpected. That's the only reason I dusted.
That was
just
great, though.
Like,
are you kidding me?
Oh, thank you.
So entertaining. You know what I want you guys to do? I have some things I want to ask you. But before that, just to let's get this out of the way, because I have a feeling we're going to have a bunch of callers. Tell everyone how they can reach out to you and what's coming up with you. Let's do that first.
Okay, you can get on my website, which is edalstrom.com. So it's EDALSTROM, as in Michael, .com. And what I have going on these days none of us have that much going on these days. I mean, I'm busy with stuff, but I'm not doing gigs because there's nowhere open here to do gigs right now. But you can drop me an email off of that website or look at what I and we are up to.
Well, Ed did he did a Facebook video with Jimmy Vivino and Frank Pagano and another one with Was It All With Them and things they've been doing long distance and then Zooming church services and things like that.
Okay.
Well, see, getting back to Facebook, from the end of April onward – I went on Facebook nearly every day until the beginning of September at noon, just playing organ. So I have a wonderful Hammond B3 and a Leslie down in my basement, where it stays, where it lives. And I just started playing organ every day just to, for some amusement, and then it became a thing. So I was giving out a daily dose of B3 from there. And it caught on. I got a lot of views off it and a lot of lovely comments, and I was playing the organ every day, and it was a lot of fun. And then I hooked up with my old bandmates, Jimmy Vivino and Frank Pagano, with who I did lounge bands. Oh, we're talking 40 years ago. Yeah, we're talking late 70s, early 80s. And I hooked back up with those guys, and we started doing songs remotely. So Frank would do a drum track first and then pass it along to me, and I'd add the organ, then I'd pass it along to Jimmy in California, and he'd lay guitar over it, and then he'd get a friend of his to put the various elements of the video and audio together, and we'd put that up on Facebook. So, you know, we've been able to do things. You know, it's a little weird, right, and it's a little bit limiting, but you find a way.
Yes, I understand that. I agree with you. So there's some highlights of your life that I want to talk about right now, because these are so cool to me. All right? So, and we'll talk about all this. Aside from you guys playing with live oldies artists, I want to hear about all that. You played in the original version of Leader of the Pack on Broadway, as well as Hairspray and Smokey Joe's Cafe. You also played organ at the Yankee Stadium, okay? I would love to talk about those things right now.
Okay. Well, we'll go in order. Leader of the Pack came along as a result of my affiliation with the Vivino brothers. Now, Jimmy Vivino, guitar player, dear friend of mine, was the musical director for the Conan O'Brien show for the last however many years it was, 21, 22 years or something.
Okay.
And his brother Jerry was the saxophone player in the band, and their oldest brother Floyd was, I'm going to say this name, and a lot of you with New Jersey roots will know who I'm talking about, Uncle Floyd.
He's still Uncle Floyd.
Right, and he still is Uncle Floyd. And so Me and Jimmy and Jerry and Frank Pagano, the drummer, were doing lots and lots of work together. We were playing weddings. We were playing shows. We were the pit band for the Uncle Floyd show, which was a big, big deal in the early 80s. And so the extension of that was we got affiliated with – Floyd used to play the Bottom Line Theater in New York City all the time. And so we got affiliated with the Bottom Line because we were there a lot. So we got to know the guys there. Then Leader of the Pack got put together at the Bottom Line, which was called a cabaret, but it was, you know, way bigger than what we call a cabaret here in New York City now, because it seated about 400 people. But it was a great music venue because you could get a lot of people in there, and the sight lines were unbelievable. The sound was great, and it was a classic, classic spot to see music. So Leader of the Pack, in its infancy, got put together at the Bottom Line as an off-Broadway show. Now, Leader of the Pack, I think I say that, and you all know the song, the famous song cut by the Shangri-Las, 1964.
Yes.
Now, that song was written by a songwriting team of Ellie Greenwich and Jeff Barry, who wrote countless, literally countless incredible songs from the early 60s. So a lot of the Phil Spector stuff, Ronettes, Crystals, Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans, Darlene Love, and they wrote Hanky Panky, River Deep, Mountain High, Da-Do-Ron Ron, Do-Wah-Diddy-Diddy, Then He Kissed Me, Be My Baby. You know, the list is really insane of number one smash timeless hits that they wrote together. They were not together very long, so they got divorced after a few years. And Ellie turned up in 1982 or 83 with this concept to do a musical review of her life's work here, which involved all those songs plus stuff she had written in later years, some of which got recorded by big-name artists. And Ellie was in the show, and so she needed a band, and we got recruited. And so they put the show together as really a musical review. It wasn't really like a Broadway show at that point. It was just a straight-up, we played 35 songs or something, and that was it. There was a couple of little skits holding certain things together, but it wasn't much talking. It was mostly playing the music. And when you hear that body of work of Ellie Greenwich and that Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich wrote, and you hear all those songs in a row, it's like exhausting. It's so much hit power and so much energy. And we had amazing singers on stage, headlined by Darlene Love. That's where I met her many years ago. And Annie Golden, Ula Hedwig, and John Fiore, and Bobby Jay, and a whole bunch of other people. So it was largely an oldies show, and then the second half of it got into some of her newer material.
And she came out.
And then she came out and sang To Do Ron Ron, and it was quite a moment. And
Bobby Jay.
I just mentioned him already. And it was a smash hit at the bottom line. We did three nights of a test run, and then a couple of months later, we did like a month, I think, like five nights a week. And it was kind of like a Broadway run in miniature. And there was lines around the block. We had David Bowie and David Letterman and all these people coming to
see us.
And it was like really insane. Because the show was great. It was the most powerful musical review you'd ever see. It was as good as anything. It was a really astonishing show while it was at the bottom line. Then, naturally, the next step was, well, we want to go to Broadway. Well, it went to Broadway. It got watered down quite a bit. But the main reason it didn't succeed was because 1985, when we did this on Broadway, the world was not ready for, like, of jukebox musical.
Oh.
And the reviewers came and they said, "We're screeching loud guitars and feedback and all." And they just complained about, like, the music. And because they weren't ready for anything like that. None of these jukebox musicals that would come later had happened yet. So this was like the first of its kind. I mean, Grease was kind of the closest thing. And it wasn't anywhere near of what we were bringing out there with Leader of the Pack. So the show didn't get good reviews. It stayed open for a few months anyway because they were smart enough to build up the advance sale before they actually opened the show. But it ran for like 4 or 5 months. But it was an experience of a lifetime. It was really great to just go play that music all the time, especially if you're a piano player.
That's
just true. Beating the living daylights out of a piano on all that Phil Spector stuff.
Awesome.
Was really fabulous. And at the original run at the bottom line, I was the second keyboard player behind Paul Schaefer, who was the piano player. So he was right in front of me playing piano, and I was behind him playing like second piano and the string parts and vibe parts and all kinds of synthesizer stuff. So those are some good days. And I got to know Ellie really well, and what a wonderful woman she is, was.
So cool.
Love her to death.
So cool.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Let's do this. Before we continue on with all that, let's play a track, because I want everyone to hear what you guys do. So, Brother O, let's have it.
About 4:15, drinking and staggering. She called me Joe. She called me out of my name. Oh yeah, she called me out of my name. Called me out of my name. I believe that woman is sane. She's a little bitty woman, about 4 feet tall. Just can't keep her off alcohol. She called me out of my name. Oh yeah, she called me out of my name. Called me out of my name. I believe that woman is sane. Alcohol's in the kitchen, drinking gin. Feel on whiskers on his chin. Look at here, son, it ain't no sin. Grab that woman and try it again. She called me out of my name. Oh, yeah, she called me out of my name. Call me out of my name. I believe that woman is sane. Shut it up. to that bonus man. Call me out of my name. Why? Call me out of my name. Call me out of my name. I believe that woman is sane.
Incredible. Incredible.
Thank you.
Incredible. I want to talk about that song, but tell everyone about the Yankee Stadium first.
Okay. I've been a baseball fan since I was a young boy, and I've been playing organ since I was a young boy. And my dad took me to my first baseball game in 1965, when I was 7 years old, and I heard the organ, and I said, wow, baseball, organ, I want to do that. But, you know, the opportunity was never there for me to do it, and I was a big baseball fan my whole life, and I played the organ, and I always wanted to play at a stadium, but there's, you know, those jobs aren't falling from trees, and you can't just go get it. So, long story short, as I can make it, we found out that Eddie Layton, who had been the organist at Yankee Stadium for 37 years, was retiring after the 2003 season. And Maxine here, who's my biggest promoter, said, why don't you throw a hat in the ring for that job? We'll audition for the Yankees job. I said, I'm not going to do that. I don't know anybody there. The job wasn't advertised. You know, how are we going to do this? And she got on the phone and got through to a couple of people and wangled it so that I was able to send a resume in. And then the next step was I went and interviewed. This is funny because it was 2004 now in March. And this is like 3 weeks before the season is going to start. And it was a really rough winter. And there's like 12 feet of snow on the ground. And it's really, really cold out. So I go there to audition for Eddie Layton himself. So he's standing in the doorway. I'm sitting at the Yankee Stadium organ, and he's calling out songs for me to play. And I played little snippets of songs, and then they said, okay, we'll let you know what's going on. Then a week later they called me and said, well, we've got a guy that's going to do Monday through Friday. Would you like to do Saturdays and Sundays as the Yankees organist? And I said, you bet I would.
Yeah.
So I've been the weekend organist at Yankee Stadium since 2004. So this would have been my 17th season, but they didn't have fans at the stadium this year due to the pandemic. So there wasn't there wasn't live organ at the stadium. But hopefully next year we'll be back at it.
That is so cool to me because, you know, I'm a New Yorker, baby.
Yeah.
We have a caller in queue, so let's take our caller. Hello.
Great. Hello, am I on the air?
You're on the air.
Hello, this is Jackie Mason. How is that one there? Jerry Patino.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing great. Is this? I want to speak to Ed and Maxine. Are you there?
We are here.
Who is this?
Oh, I got to say, I just love your music. I was jumping and dancing out of my seat. Oy vey, I could not stop. Did you ever play at Kansas Delicatessen?
Could be.
Did you ever get any gigs at any synagogue? I'd like to know. Do you play any Jewish too?
Play it all. We play it all.
Yeah, we play it all.
Oh, I'm
gotta
sure
play
you
it
did.
All
you
these
all.
Days. Every. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I was dancing and I was eating a pastrami sandwich and some mustard strips and I almost fell on it.
You got to be careful.
But I got to say, I love your music. It's very good.
Well, thank you very much.
So, all right,
Jackie,
Jerry, I'm going to bring on.
And
my,
I hope,
yeah, go right ahead.
I hope you didn't make too much of a mess with the pastrami. I'm sorry that happened, but I bet it's not the first time it happened to you.
Believe it or not, it's not the first time it happened to me. It's a very common thing being Jewish.
Yes, indeed.
Jerry, Happy Hanukkah, by the way. Happy Hanukkah.
Oh, yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, Happy Hanukkah to you. What nationality might you be?
Oh, we're a little bit of everything around here. We just believe in good music and good, kind values.
Oh, so in other words, you're a mixed marriage.
Yeah, well, no, we both believe that. It's not mixed.
No, we're mixed, all right.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm very all mixed. Well, one day you got to come down and play in Borough Park and play for all the Jews.
That sounds good.
All right. I'm going to put my
phone
on the phone.
Okay. Look me up at edallstrom.com and drop me a line there.
I most certainly will.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Great talking to you.
Thank
you.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you very much.
Are you with your friend, Jackie?
Jerry.
Jackie Mason.
Jerry, are you there?
Yes. Are you with your friend?
Yes. I'm here. Yeah, well, I'm with Jackie. He's hanging out with me. He's in my living room right now. This is Ralph Apolito.
I thought he was with you. Yeah, tell everyone who you are.
I am Ralph Apolito. I am one of the hosts on the Damon Network. And the name of my show is the Ralph Apolito Commentary. And I'm a comedian impressionist. And as you just heard, Jackie Mason.
We were walking in New York one night, and Jackie Mason just was passed us at this restaurant. It was so sweet. We've always been big fans of his.
Oh. I love Jackie Mason. He's a classic. He's one of my favorites.
We love him.
There was nobody like him. Wow.
Yeah.
He was.
Well, then I'm going to take credit for this. I'm going to take credit for this then, because I had him do that.
Yeah, I love it when he's like, so we got to eat cake, we're going to have cake, we're going to have tea, we're going to have some tea with the cake and some cake with the tea, and then we're going to go to the restaurant, but it's too cold over there, the air conditioning's coming on too cold, we got to move there, we got to move the cake and the tea because it's too cold over there with the vent.
Listen, I honestly didn't know he was going to do Jackie Mason. Listen, Ralph, that's pretty cool. Thank you.
I was going to surprise. You're welcome. I got to say, your music is fantastic, and keep up the great work, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Thank you so
much. Thanks,
Ralph. To hear up.
So cool. That was so cool. I did not plan that. That's great.
We had about 10 friends that could have been, so we weren't sure which one it was.
So that song that we played, tell us a little bit about that.
That is a song I put on my 2009 CD called Getting Organized, which is me playing the Hammond B3 organ, the aforementioned one that's in my basement, along with two fabulous musicians from right here in Jersey, the great Charlie Jones on guitar, and Don Junta on drums, and just three of us, and we did two separate, casual jam sessions, and they came out so good, I said, I'm going to put these on a CD and put it out there. Now, I wish I could tell you where to get it, but my one outlet for distribution was CD Baby, and they closed up shop not too long ago. So right now I don't have distribution, but again, you can drop me a line at edallstrom.com, and I'll find a way to get you one if you're interested. The song itself is an old Brother Jack McDuff song called Out of My Name that a bunch of people have recorded. So it's just a swinging little blues, and it's a lot of fun making that.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something, Jerry, regarding music and the Yankees and that when Ed or the other organist play, Ed's there Saturdays and Sundays at Yankee Stadium at home games, and when they do play about 45 minutes, an hour to 45 minutes prior to the game, they play for about 20 minutes, and they can play, all different genres of music. So you might hear all kinds of oldies and good stuff, and a lot of people don't realize to come early.
That's awesome. I mean, every game that I've been to, gosh, for the past, 25, 30 years, they've all been amazing with the music. Maybe I've heard you guys and never knew it, you know what I mean?
It's possible, yeah. I run into people who are like, wow, that was you.
He'll play anything from, all kinds, just all genres of music prior to the game. It's very cool to hear it, to hear it coming through there, you know. And it's and not a lot of people go early, unfortunately.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
all
a
right,
great
guys.
Time to go to the game, to get there early and just camp out. And I remember getting to games early when I was a kid and listening to Eddie Leighton play before the game, an hour, 45 minutes before the game. And
very cool.
Very cool.
Yes. I'm very fortunate. I've got to tell you, I'm really fortunate to have done the things I've done and still be doing a lot of them.
So this is what we're going to do. We're going to play another track. Then we're going to take another caller, but then I have something I do want to say to you guys. So let's play another track, guys. Thank you, DJ O.S.
I want to hear you say, yeah. I want to marry you. Whatever hound I want to call. Because I love you.
So, I love your music.
Oh, thank you.
I absolutely love your music. Let's take our next caller, and then we're going to talk about that song because I absolutely love it, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Hello,
give me that
caller?
Again because I was unmuting myself. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Okay. What was the question?
So, do we have our caller on?
Caller,
yeah,
are you there?
Is on.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you on.
Jerry.
Hi, caller.
How you doing?
Hey, baby. How are you?
Trying to make it. I tell you, no lie about that.
Honey, you're going to make it.
I'm loving what
Introduce
I'm hearing
yourself,
the music.
Baby. Introduce
oh,
yourself
sorry.
To my guest.
How you doing? I'm Will of God. I'm listening to the music. I'm like, yo, am I way back in the day listening to that good stuff from back in the day? Like, wait a minute, I feel like I'm down south sometimes. What's going on?
Well, that's what we're trying to conjure up, so I'm glad it sounded that way.
Yeah, I got a little Ocean City, Maryland in me, so I know exactly how that boy. I like how y'all sound, man. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man.
When's the next album's going to come out? The newest one.
I don't know. We got to get back to work when we can all get in the same room and do that. That was a band I did called the Harmonious Five. That was kind of a labor of love project. I wanted to do a lot of the old R&B stuff that had the group vocals, but have a self-contained group where everybody was playing their instruments and singing. So we were called the Harmonious Five, but we were a four-piece group. And so it was a bass player, Mark Berger, and the drummer, Frank Pagano, and the piano player, Dave Keys, and I was playing guitar. And we did a whole bunch of Coasters, Contours, and we did three songs by that group that did that song, with the Five Royals. You familiar with them? Actually, one of the great vocal groups ever. I mean, the Five Royals are, when you get onto them, you're hooked for life. They're so spectacular. The songwriting's unbelievable. The singing is unbelievable. They were around in the mid-50s to late 50s. They never really had any hits except their band leader and guitar player, a guy named Loman Pauling, wrote Dedicated to the One I Love, which was, of course, a huge hit for the Shirelles and later for the Mamas and Papas. And the Five Royals recorded it, but their version wasn't a hit. But Loman Pauling wrote a whole bunch of songs that other people covered, but they were just a wonderful, wonderful band. We did three of their songs on that CD, and we had a whole lot of fun doing that.
Amazing.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm sounding good, boy. I look, man.
Thank you. God. I want you to tell everyone who you are, though. Tell them about your shows.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll be on this Friday. I thought it was going to be Christmas, but I'll get the dates mixed up. My show's called Too Thorough, by Will of God, and, you know, I'm just going to have a little bit of a knowledge that day, because I'm starting to realize that the government is basically disrespecting us, treating us like we just part-time idiots. So let's have some conversation, you know. This is getting really wicked out here.
All right. I love you, man. Thank you for calling in.
I'll keep on going. I love the music and Jerry Bridges.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I love that song. I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but I mean, I really do love it. Like, it makes you want
to
like dance.
Are you onto the Five Royals, Jerry? Are you onto that group?
I'm sorry.
Are you onto the Five Royals?
Am I onto them? No. No, I'm not.
You need to, like, get the Five Royals in your life. It's Royals.
Well,
like,
I wrote it down. Royals.
And they are just beyond belief. I mean, the fact that they have languished in obscurity for so long is, like, mind-boggling, because they're mind-bogglingly great. There wasn't a better, you know, group harmony group anywhere. They're just the best.
Mm.
And then nobody
knows
who they
are. I'm going to check them out tonight.
And but we're onto them, and we wanted to do songs that, like, very few groups would do, because A, they don't have the vocal power in one place, and B, the songs weren't hits, but they're fabulously witty, funny songs. So we went and got some Coasters and Contours and Andre Williams. There's a couple of Andre Williams songs on there, and just all kinds of great stuff. And that was another little project from 2012. And we can't get together. We did some gigs back in the day, but it's hard to get everybody together because everybody's doing different things. And right now, everybody's doing nothing. So.
Well, let me ask both of you a question. I know this is going to be a very hard question to answer, but you don't have to tell me your ultimate favorites. But do you guys each have one artist that maybe you looked up to growing up, or that has really inspired you, or do you have a favorite artist, either both of you?
I couldn't name you one. I would have to name you like 20, because
I
have so many influences. Okay. I'd have to say that from a jazz standpoint, Thelonious Monk was very influential on me when I was like a high school kid, because I remember I was playing piano and I was just trying to learn how to play jazz and come to grips with it. And I was hearing people like Art Tatum and Oscar Peterson and Bill Evans, and I was like, I can't play like that. And then I heard Thelonious Monk, and I was like, I could play like that. So that's kind of the road I went down, because Monk played, you know, very sparse and left a lot of space, and he was very unique, and I'm not saying that I was Thelonious Monk, but I certainly tried to copy him when I was early on. And then I learned that I wasn't going to, you know, I couldn't take that to too many places. Like, you couldn't go on a wedding and really be playing like Thelonious Monk. But I wanted to learn from everybody. I wanted to be fluent in every genre. I didn't want to ever go on a gig and feel like I was overmatched or didn't know what was going on or was going to embarrass myself. I was just intent on any kind of gig I did. I wanted to go in and sound like I knew what I was doing.
Okay. What about Maxine?
I think, like, you're talking about when I was growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, like, I remember, of course, now we're friends with Eddie Brigati and, you know, neighbors and friends, and we look up to him so much. But the Rascals, to me, growing up, like that album, the Rascals, Carole King, Tapestry. But then I love Sergio Mendes and the Latin and Errol Garner for jazz piano. And then I discovered Tom Waits, and I was, like, blown away. I always loved James Taylor and Stevie, you know, all the obvious ones that we all love. But I think, like, as far as musically, you know, I mean, Carole King and, you know, between that, Errol Garner, the jazz, and then just eclectic. I just think it's really two kinds of music, like good and bad, you know. That's how I've always felt. And we always tell people that ask us, you know, students, if we ever do visit schools or talk to students, we always say just try to listen to everything, listen to every genre. You know, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You might not like it, but it's just important to expose yourself and listen. I tell some of my students, I was teaching elementary music last year in Basking Ridge, and I would tell the kids, put the radio on and just listen to, just change station, listen to all different kinds of music when you're in the
car.
That's
beautiful. Yeah, I love that.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. I want to tell everyone to dial in 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Very cool. So we're going
to
play.
We've been lucky to – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, sweetheart. You go.
I was going to say we have had a lot of really fun adventures that are very diverse, speaking of diversity. So like Ed designed for Casio, we would get to travel around the world and demonstrate or do trade shows, and he designed the keyboards that you might have at home, some of the songs, and then he did a lot of different tours with different people, and then we had a lot of fun adventures with wonderful people like Denny from the Mamas and Papas. Ed did his off-Broadway show where he wanted to talk about his life.
Oh.
In 2003, there was a off-Broadway show. It was at the Village Theater on Bleecker Street in the summer of 2003, and one of the best times of my life. I spent the summer singing Mamas and Papas tunes at the Village Theater with Denny Doherty, who was the male lead singer in the Mamas and Papas.
Oh, wow.
And they brought the show down from Canada, where it was a big hit up there, and they had a band, and they had background singers, and they didn't have a musical director or piano player. So I got recruited into this kind of already running show. And I got to know Denny really well, and what a marvelous character he was. And he's still a really good singer and really entertaining. It was basically a one-man show. So he sat there and told the whole story of the group. And we just sprinkled the Mamas and Papas songbook in there. And we were all dressed up in kind of 60s garb, and there was psychedelic lights and stuff all over the place, and it was a fabulous way to spend the summer.
And then, Ed met a lot of Denny's
friends.
The Mamas
and the Papas, yes.
Yeah.
What?
He met a lot of Denny's friends, too, that would come and visit, and some of the bands.
Yeah,
right?
We had Scott McKenzie and Spanky McFarlane and people like that would come to the show.
John Sebastian,
the whole crew he ran around with as folkies in the village before they became the Mamas and Papas.
And Jenny was just a beautiful, beautiful person.
Oh, what a great guy.
The songs come on the car radio, and I tear up just thinking about Denny.
Oh, my goodness. We have one more track, so let's play our track, and then we'll finish this conversation.
Right on.
DJ Olasky, bring it on.
Baby, take one.
That was incredible.
Well, thank you.
Incredible. Tell me about that song.
The song is called, in this incarnation, My Mumbling Baby. And it's the only song I know about a person with a speech impediment, obviously in a humorous way. I learned the song off a recording by a singer from Louisiana named Rudy Green. Although it turns up on R&B compilations as different people having claimed to write it. So we really don't know. It's just kind of probably like a public domain song that people just came across and appropriated for themselves over the years. But I've heard like four or five different versions of it. So I put that on the second CD I did, which is called Acid Cabaret, which I did with myself on piano and vocals, and Jeff Gans on the bass, and again, the great drummer from here in Jersey, Don Junta. And we did that in 2003, I think.
So I have a question for you guys, but you know what? We have a caller in queue. Let's take the caller, and then I have a question for both of you. Here we
sure.
go. Hello, caller.
Yes, this is Little Richard. Can I speak to Ms. Jerry Petito, please?
Little Richard, how you doing, baby?
man. I'm lit up. I love your special guest.
The king of the true king of rock and roll.
Yep.
Yes,
I'm honored to speak to you, King.
It's the way you make me feel, but I love you still.
Oh, you sound just like yourself.
How am I doing?
Beautiful.
Man,
how you feeling, Richard?
Y'all taking me back to a time when music was music. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, hey,
music
was music
at one time, yes. It really was.
I want the party to go on. Thank you so much for sharing this type of energy. You really need this during this day and time. Thank you so much for being a part of this Hall of Fame sensation, Jerry Petito. Special honored guest tonight. Thank you.
Honored to be here and honored to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to check y'all out. Now, look, but I gotta say something to that Hall of Famer sensation. Is she available?
She is, but can I say something about you first?
There you go.
Okay.
Yes,
I want to say something because I want Ed and Maxine to know, number one, who you are. I want them to know who my producer is, who's playing our incredible songs tonight. So DJ Olasky, he is an International Hall of Fame 2019 for DJ, and he is he owns O&E, and he is incredible, and he's the one that's playing our tracks for us and actually putting the show together for us. So I want to give a shout-out to him and let you guys know who he is. And now,
okay,
this guy here.
We thank you.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
He's amazing. And this guy here, Huni Bakatun, he is the 2020 International Hall of Fame radio show host. And tell them what other awards you got this year. Tell them.
Yes, ma'am. You know, my fellow show host had the audacity to vote me in as the host of the year. I received one of the most prestigious awards of honor that I could possibly have. Matter of fact, this is my second time receiving it, and that's our angelic ancestor, Mrs. Anna Wydell, as I call her, the Master Sound Village.
Yes.
She passed away a couple of years ago. So I actually received this award again this year. You know, and again, I got my fellow hosts to thank for that because it's an inside thing, and it really, really caught me by surprise. But anyway, enough of me, Jerry, because you already know what I'm about to do, right? I have to do this.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Congratulations. International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, Jerry Petito, on your O&E syndication station, all-time connection record. This is your 43rd all-time and personal best, 13th consecutive.
So, thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
I will go play a couple of chords on the piano for that.
So, Huni, thank you. I love you. Tell everyone also when your show is on.
Yes, I love you as well. My show is coming up Thursday this week, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. I cover a variety of different subjects. And this week, my very special honored guest will be another master teacher amongst us, known as Rabboni Yahshua Nunzudak. And I'll be speaking about, or we both will, speaking about identifying the elect.
Okay, very cool. Well, I want to thank you for calling in with that incredible news. I love you, and I want to thank Ed and Maxine for helping me get there tonight. You guys rock.
Oh, well. You've done it, Jerry. You've earned it.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you, sweetheart.
So let's go back to now my question. I want to ask both of you, because I ask all my entertainer guests this question. I know all the people you guys have met and played with. I mean, I'm super jealous, I got to say. Was there anyone, and both of you can answer this, was there anyone that either of you wished you could have met but did not?
A whole lot of people. I don't even know where to start.
Okay.
Look, but I tell you, I would probably first go back to the day where spent a lot of this show talking about. That would be late 50s, early 60s. I would love to have met Little Richard.
Oh.
Well, I did meet Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, some people like, you know, some people from back in the day.
Okay.
Five Royals.
Okay.
A lot of people.
So, Maxine, was there anyone in particular for you?
It's not coming to my mind right now.
You should have met Errol Garner.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people to look up to, but I'm trying to think of one I wish I had met. But I'll think of it. I'll think of it. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
I'll come back to it. Okay.
Okay, okay. So right now I would like to tell everyone once again how they can reach out to you guys.
Okay, best way is probably to get on my website, which is edalstrom.com. That is spelled EDALSTROM as in Mary, .com. And you can check out what we're doing and drop me an email there.
Okay,
or
beautiful.
We're on Facebook, both of us individually. As you know, Ed Ahlstrom has a profile, Maxine Ahlstrom has a profile. We splash music up there every now and then for various things. And ready to hear from you anytime.
You know, one person I think I would have really liked to have met, Jerry, Nat King Cole.
Oh, come on.
Nat King Cole.
Yeah.
He just reeks of his soul and his person talent. And I can't imagine just having time to get to know him better.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I'm an Elvis fan, and I would have said Elvis, but Nat King Cole, come on. Okay.
Yeah.
We have another caller, guys.
Okay.
Let's take it, Ed, and then we'll get back to what you were saying. So let's take our caller.
Hey, Jerry, how are you doing tonight? It's Andrea.
Hey. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations, first of all, on your record you broke tonight. Loving the music. Beautiful show. I just wanted to stop by and show my support. And really enjoying the music. And
thank you, Andrea. That's lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Doing a great job. Keep on keeping on.
Thanks so much.
And you're welcome. I'll sit back and enjoy the show. Love
you
guys.
Thank you, Andrea.
Happy New
Year.
Love you.
Andrea was
love
a former
you.
Host also on O&E, and she does a podcast, The Voice of Hope, with Andrea Kaczynski. So she's awesome, everybody.
Oh, great.
She's awesome.
We'll check that out, too.
Yeah. So we're coming to the close of the show pretty soon, so I'm going to give you guys an opportunity right now to say whatever it is you'd like to say, and then it's going to be in Gozy time, so I will introduce him.
Okay.
So go ahead. Yep.
I guess since I know a lot of your listeners are kind of oldies oriented. I had some real fun experiences playing oldies shows, notably the Richard Nader shows that used to go on. They were at the Garden or the Nassau Coliseum or wherever they were. And I was working with Darlene Love for several years, and she would go and be on the bill at those shows. And I'd invariably wind up doing some stuff with other people who were on the bill who needed, like, a background singer or needed a piano player or whatever, and everybody knew each other there. So they would all just, you know, just hang out, and it was a great hang. And I remember one time Darlene and her two background singers and I went there, and we were going to just do it with the house band, and I was going to kind of lead the band, and she would go out there and do her thing with her singers. So we're sitting backstage. It's way before the show, hours before the show. And Darlene comes in the dressing room. She says, "All right, listen, we have to go sing backup for Mel Carter and for Ed Townsend."
Oh, please stop.
Now, those
all
names
right.
ring
Go
a bell.
Ahead.
All right, Mel Carter is Hold Me.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold me.
Are you kidding?
Never let me go. And Ed Townsend did For Your Love, yep. I Would Do Anything. All right? So we go in, and we go into Mel Carter's dressing room. And somehow somebody produced like a cassette tape. I mean, we're talking, you know.
Right.
Something in the 90s or something. So there wasn't like internet to go online and get it, you know. So somebody produced a cassette of these songs, and we're listening to it in the dressing room and trying to learn the vocal parts. And so the next thing, we're in Mel Carter's dressing room, and he's singing. And I don't know how old he was at that point. He had to be in his 60s or 70s. He sounded amazing. I mean, his voice was just drop-dead stunning. He sang it in the original key, the high notes. It was just like we were crying. It was so beautiful. And we sang those background parts. And then we go to Ed Townsend's dressing room, and we rehearse with him. And Darlene is, like, teaching us the parts. And so we get done with that, and we're walking back to our dressing room. I said, "Darlene, how do you know these vocal parts?" She says, "Oh, I was on that record." I'm like, "Okay,
that's crazy."
So there was lots of camaraderie and fun on those shows. I also did a bunch of oldies shows at the Bottom Line with Cousin Brucey hosting them.
Yes, cool.
So Chubby Checker and the Toys and Melanie and Rip Derringer and this wild variety of people. And one I'll never forget, this is so great, the Toys, the vocal group who had the hit, the Lover's Concerto.
Yes.
How
yes.
gentle is the rain, you know. So the Toys, like, oh, they weren't even on the bill. They were just in the audience. And Cousin Brucey says, "Can we get the Toys to come up here and do a song?" And we're like, we didn't know the song. So I went backstage while Cousin Brucey killed some time, and I'm with the Toys, the three women, and we're standing in front of this, like, freezer closet in backstage at the Bottom Line. And they're singing the song to me a cappella while I'm writing down chords on, like, a napkin. So they're back there singing, like, the entire song with the harmonies and everything. Like original, like just like it was on the record. It sounded exactly like the record.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm just writing down the chords. And then we went back out on stage. I threw it in front of the bass player. And the guitar player looked over his shoulder. And then I counted it off. And we did the song. Like right there. It was, you know, it's one of those magical moments in music where things just happen and you have to go with it and you ride it all the way to the end and you make it work.
Those magic moments. So, see, I can't sing, but I wish I could. So, guys, I want to say thank you to both of you. You are incredible, incredible performers. I want to thank you for honoring me with this interview tonight, and I want to thank you for helping me get to this record-breaking show. But I have a little surprise for everyone as well and you. So, guys, you know what time it is now? Come on. Here's your mother's and father's favorite producer, Brother O.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the options to come along tonight. And Maxine, let me explain something to you as well as your wonderful husband. I grew up in that type of atmosphere where my father's favorite singer was Nat King Cole. And, of course, there would be no other way to do it but just do it like it would be in 1955. Hello, everybody. Elf Sullivan here. And you'll be a really big show tonight. We're going to do a little bit of rendition of something near and dear to our heart right here on CBS. It would be Nat King Cole. Nat, sing for us right here on CBS.
Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, oh. Men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only because you're lonely they have blamed you? For that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile. Do you smile to tempt the lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this the way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there.
and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real? Mona Lisa, or just a cold,
oh my gosh,
lonely, lovely world? Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa. And that's it.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Wow, thank you so much. The spirit came right across.
Super.
And you have like his pitch,
yes,
and his tone and his vibrato, everything.
His
thank
vibe.
You.
Yes, indeed.
Beautiful.
And of course, let us congratulate the wonderful, outstanding, and broadcasting Ishrani of the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame for the class of 2019. The Georgia Jewel, who's the fourth in New York, Geraldine Petito. On the 33rd, 20th syndicated station, all time connected record, and her personal best 13 consecutive. You know, this young lady came to us on the, in 2018 and has been doing an outstanding job for us. I'm so proud of what she's given us, an outstanding legacy. A person that, you know, loves to love and loves to live. And I'm so proud of what she does on a constant basis. You know, a true variety host on our network, and, you know, they come hard, they're hard to find. And what she's done for us on a constant basis has been more than the word outstanding. So we thank all the folks that supported her down through the years for her 33rd consecutive. You know, what more can we say tomorrow night? Come back to one of these only stations with a young lady that's near and dear to our heart as well. The outstanding author and commissioner of this network, Miss Angela Thomas-Smith, and she's known simply as Angela, and she is walking in her purpose. Name of the show is Walking in Purpose with Angela, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these ONE stations. And, of course, W Nation has advertising through ONE, which is on the Deli Ingalls Enterprise. Reach the course at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime 1 at webnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli Ngozi at Pinterest and Google Plus. Ola Deli Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, the Jerry Petito Show, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful programming tonight? OlaDeli.Ngozi@my and gmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Deli Malay Rangozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Also, Ms. Jerry Petito and the Austin, check us out. We have a brand new production company, you know, called We Are Right Entertainment. And we have a brand new show that has nothing to do with ONE. It's me and the B-girl, Sharice Lee, doing it together. And the name of the show, Ms. Jerry Petito, is called The Killer Bees. And we're going to be talking about issues, man. We're going to be laughing and joking. And it's a little bit explicit, but we have a barn time. We just tell the truth. You know what I mean? We try to teach these folks a game. So a lot of times people get, you know, messed up. We're going to stand by our truth. And it's part of, like I said, We Are Right Entertainment. And we're excited of that. It'll be Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time at Zoom and Facebook Live. Also, anyone that want to learn the game on how to do this thing in broadcasting, you can also get with me, OnlyFans, next year, next month in January. My personal mentor course, my master's class, is $99.95. So you get a chance, man. You know, you're not getting this game for free. Mm-mm, you're going to pay me. Okay? You want to learn how to be a broadcasting host? Want to learn how to be a CEO? You know, come mess with your boy. I'm going to teach you the game. And again, I am your mother and father's favorite producer, LaDelli Malaria Gossi, saying good night, good luck. All the folks that have been on Force Radio, supporting us on a constant basis, Jerry Petito, Hall of Famer. It's your time now. Let's get it in.
So here we go, guys. The Jerry Petito Show poem. Imagine that. I had 5 shows. I can't believe it was me they chose. First Hamilton Radio, then on PANJ. On Vinny's show, I met Rob Bell. I joined with them that day. Doc G started this. It's all because of you, asking me to come along, something I had to do. Brother O watched my shows and said, please come along. If you do, I promise, with me you can't go wrong. Beverly Nation Online, Talk Show Radio, make way. Once you get me started, I'll have so much to say. Brother O inspired me. My shows are flying high. Now on Damon Network, Damon Looks will reach the sky. I was even named the Jersey Jewel by Brother O. Damn, that's cool. my nickname on the other shows, Jerry the Smartass, because of my logos. Now picked up by My Fifth One, owned by Barb and Steve. Remember Then Radio, or oldies, I believe. Larry Chance and the Earls, their song Remember Then, the station is named after. Now Larry is my friend. I can't believe the call. Good news from me to you, an award out of Germany, my achievements. It's true. You won't believe this. I swear to you, this one's true. Now a nominee for Hall of Fame, along with Brother O. Who knew? What a ride this really has been. Can't wait to hear Brother O and I win. But even if it didn't happen, being nominated created clapping. Oh, my gosh, we got that call to tell us that we'd win. Brother O and I made it. We were inducted in. International Hall of Famers, forever enshrined will be Internet DJ for Brother O, Internet radio host for me. The best part of the ceremony, both our children gave a speech on behalf of their parents, proud of all the souls we'd reach. For those who know me and those who don't, to keep me silent, you can't, you won't. My show will be to keep it real on how I see it and how I feel. To tell the truth and expose the lies. Get out of the dark. Let's open our eyes. If you want to get healthier, learn how to live, just listen to me, then inspiration I give. If addiction's your struggle, no matter which one, I wrote the book on addiction. That battle I've won. I'm not an addict, I'm just an ass is the title of my book. Check it out. You won't regret the minute you take a look. A lot of info I sure do know, so tune in and learn stuff on the Jerry Petito Show. Good night, everyone.